Breakfast.
The DL Debate in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love with outdoor dining. Book now and enjoy the Sarah's experience.
Welcome on all to the DL Debate. Beaming out from the famous Mountaintop Studios here in Letterkenny. This is Highland Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. Now on the radio or back via podcast. If you want to contact the show, you can do that on the dldebate@mail.com. Later on the show, we are going to talk to Tyrone legend Peter Canavan on Tyrone's memorable All-Ireland victory this season. We have interviews from Martin McHugh, and we're going to talk to Donegal News reporter Frank Craig as we round up all the club championship across Donegal. Now, just from yesterday, first up, I was up at the McCool's St Michael's game. A great victory for St Michael's there away to McCool's in the championship. And after the game, I caught up with St Michael's manager Daniel McLaughlin. Here's what he had to say.
Daniel, you came into this job kind of by accident. I know you've had a bad ankle injury. Of course, you're a 2012 All-Ireland winner with Donegal. But the job came up, I know it's something you've coached down in Kildare recently. Yeah. So the seat was vacated there by Cookie Gallagher. Yeah. So you came in last minute. Was that out of duty to the club, or had you planned to take the job at some stage?
Look, I didn't probably plan to take it this early in my career, like, but I suppose Cookie had stepped aside early on in the campaign, you know, and then Liam, he asked me would I come in and maybe take over. So look, I'm happy that I've, I suppose, Cahill and Raymond there to kind of lean on too, that we've been experienced with Raymond and the minors, you know. Sure. So look, I had a bit of coaching experience down in Kildare, like you said, so took the hot seat, and it's the next best thing to play in, I suppose.
Yeah, Liam can be a hard man to say no to. Once he gets a hold of you, you're kind of wrapped in. But tell me, that the league form there, you had took a couple of beatings, of course, against McCool's and Unions. You're short of players in that, but you won five games. Mm-hmm. So you still come in here with decent form in terms of matching up to McCool's here.
Yeah, no, we did. I suppose the league campaign, we were looking to do there is probably to get safe, and we've done that at the very tail end of it. I suppose very weak against Unions that day, but you coming in here today, if we get a full squad there, that we could come out in the right end of a one, you know. And look, it was a tough battle, real championship game. McCool's put it up to us right from the start, got off to a great start, and look, our boys reacted very, very well. So come the end, then we grinded out and we got over the line.
Yeah, them two goals, I suppose, are disappointing. They kind of came down your middle. It's something I suppose I kind of admired McCool's for picking that pass, because a lot of players are rotating now. They came inside, they got the goals. But after that point, you'd say from that, Daniel, most of football was played by St Michael's, and certainly between Langan and just Colin McFadden, who was talking to you there. I mean, talk about rolling back the years. What a brilliant game. Of course, hasn't played. I think he played against St Unions, that was it.
Yeah.
And he comes in here today and performs again. What a player to have back in the ranks.
Aye, look, Colin's a quality footballer. We all know that in the county. Look, I think he maybe got 1-5, 1-6 today. It's great to have that experience since age, you know. And I suppose Michael there too, you know, I suppose he didn't get on the scoreboard as much as he would have liked today, but look, he influenced the game throughout. And like you said, after them two goals, once we kind of shored up that middle, we kind of took control in long periods of it, and it was very pleasing that their heads didn't go down, and they battled on and got on the right end of the result then at the end of it.
Magic. And finally then, we keep looking for this team from outside the top four to crack it. Mm-hmm. Are you a bit of a dark horse now coming into this championship? You're going to shake it up?
Look, we're only taking one game at a time, you know. I suppose we'll see how things go next week when we're up against one of the top four, you know. So come down to the bridge, and look, we'll try and make it as difficult as we can for them, you know, and look to try and get another one on the board. But we know that's going to be really, really difficult to do, you know, with the top Gadore side who put Milford to the sword. So look, we'll see how it goes next week, and we'll see where we are, I suppose, in terms of maybe cracking that top four.
Good man, Daniel. Wish you all the best.
Yeah, great hearing from Daniel McLaughlin there yesterday after a great win for St Michael's up in Ballybofey. Now, to discuss that game more in depth and the rest of the championship games in Donegal, I'm joined by the Donegal News ace reporter, Frank Craig. Frank, how are you this evening?
Not too bad, Brett, and yourself?
You're taking over, Frank. You were out and about at the weekend. I was just, as I say, I was up at that game yesterday. McCool's, there was obviously victories for Niamh Connell, St Noel's, and they rue as well in the championship. Where were you at the weekend?
I went to Glenties on Saturday for Niamh Connell against Glenfinn, and then yesterday I went to Donegal Town for Four Masters against Éireann. Good to get a look at, you know, sides like maybe Glenfinn and Éireann, obviously intermediate champions last year, and kind of maybe wonder what kind of dent they might make, you know, maybe possibly in Division 1. I know Éireann are obviously there next year. Glenfinn are in a playoff opportunity against Termonde to go up. And of course, next week, Éireann host Niamh Conlon and Ballyshannon after that big one against Fermaster. So the good thing about the weekend, it was only half a round of, you know, four senior games. You're able to get around them. And even if you didn't get to them, you're able to keep an eye on them and maybe take a wee bit in as opposed to the helter-skelter that we're going to have next week when everything, you know, is on at the same time. It was an interesting weekend and an enjoyable weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, Frank, I think that's important. You can look around, see what different sides is doing. And, you know, just from that game yesterday evening in Bala Buffet, McCool's coming into the game, you know, was one of the ones, it was kind of a hard game to call. But, you know, the brilliance of Colin McFadden, you know, a couple of early goals from McCool's, look, they really put them in the driving seat. They were, I think it was 2-2, 2-1, they 2 points up and a very commanding position, Frank, and really showed a wee bit of, I suppose, bravery in terms of picking the pass right through the centre of St. Michael's defence. But after that, St. Michael's played all the football. And as I say, you know, what can we say about this McFadden man? You know, he hadn't played at all in the league. He played one game against St. Eunan's and he comes in and puts in a performance like that.
Aye, that was the interesting standout. There was a game that we were kind of looking forward to see because we have this sort of perennial discussion of who is the fifth best team in the county. And I suppose a lot of other ones might look at maybe the likes of McCool's or St. Michael's as obvious choices for that there. But in terms of Colm Anthony McFadden, I don't think he's done much training even with St. Michael's. I think he's spent, you know, the last 6 or 7 months, you know, doing a lot of cycling, I think taking parts in various sort of competitions, triathlons, all that. And I think it might be, you know, a hint for maybe other elder statesmen and maybe how to look after yourself maybe in the off season. Let the younger lads at it on the training field and, you know, do the right kind of training that suits yourself. And listen, if Colin McFadden can deliver that kind of showing for Daniel McLaughlin and St. Michael's, you know, absolutely brilliant. It's great. And listen, class is permanent. Like he was a class act, and obviously by his impact in that their game at the weekend, he was still a class act. I'm just disappointed I didn't get to witness it in the flesh.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good evening up there in Bala Buffet. Frank, I was just thinking about that, you know, even, as I say, funny, me and you've always talk about this, about who's the team can maybe upset the big four. You know, I put that to Daniel McLaughlin, and he came back with the one game at a time scenario, so he's learning the management lingo very quick. But of course, Daniel himself had coached down in Kildare, so he's not coming in completely green to this. So in many ways, he's put a good backroom team behind him there. So it's an interesting situation. You have someone with him. Obviously, he's an All-Ireland winner in 2012. He's had a terrible ankle injury. But after that, you know, Coogie Gallagher vacating the seat at such short notice, I suppose in many ways, St. Michael's is lucky that they have someone like him and the likes of Ryan McLaughlin and fellas that get to come in behind him to back him up.
Yeah, listen, Raymond
McLaughlin, sorry.
A young man, as you say, like, things were going right in terms of injuries. You'd probably be, you know, at the coalface of things there on the field. I was actually in our draw the first evening Daniel took charge. And I mean, you could actually see that, you know, there's quality there. There's always been undoubted quality. I suppose, you know, the bigger picture for St. Michael's has always been, you know, the holy grail of landing a senior championship. And the disappointing thing maybe, you know, regardless of how you dress up, you know, a good management team, how well they've been trained is, the likes of Colin McFadden's powers are on the wane. You know, we have to admit that there. Christy Toy's not involved. I think the window for that their group to win a championship probably is gone, but it doesn't mean that there isn't good players coming through in St. Michael's and that they're still extremely competitive. There's no doubt that they have the ability, you know, to go to the far reaches of the senior football championship. I don't think they're good enough to win it. And in terms of that top four, looking outside the bigger picture, something I kind of thought about, you know, yesterday evening was having watched Glenn Finn run Niamh Connell to within 3 points, having watched Éireann tear a complete strips off a four masters side. I think both those sides, you know, Éireann are coming up to Division One next year. If Glenn Finn happened to get past Termon in the playoff, both those sides I think have the potential to make an immediate jump below that their top four and challenge for that. You know, mythical top five spot in the county, because I was very impressed with Glenn Finn in the first half. Should have had a cushion of at least a goal on Niamh Connell at the break. Had a disastrous third quarter where they allowed Glenfees to tag on 5 points on the bounce and even pull back, you know, a couple of scores at the end. Lost the game by 3 points. I mean, to be within 3 points of Glenfees outside, you know, that other top three, it's good going. Éireann, now the caveat is that for Masters, we're very inexperienced. Very underprepared, I think, with management of people up there as well. And it just was a very, very poor Fermaster side. I felt sorry for them there yesterday because They were 15 points down, Brenton, in the last quarter. It was a boxing game. You would have been forgiven for throwing in the towel on them. But I'm very interested to see how Éireann perform next week in Ballyshannon against Naomh Connell. They'll really fancy a cut at them. Now, Barry Ward's around too long and too cute, you know, to take on the question when I was chatting to him afterwards about looking forward to that there. But one or two of the players, speaking to them after, is a wee bit maybe greener around the edges. They're excited about getting a shot because it's a free shot with 2 points nailed to the board. It's very much a free shot at Naomh Connell on home. Let's see where they're at because they are, you know, they're traditional big dog. One or two big results and they'll be walking with their chests out. And coming up on the Division 1, they might fear anybody. So that's a very interesting game on paper next week, and it's one I'm hoping going to get to.
Yeah, as soon as the fixtures come out, agreed, Frank, you know, there's obviously something about Éireann that they're coming with pedigree, and you think that if they do stabilise and can make a fist in the Championship, you know, the players will keep coming through from. They have that ability to produce those type of players. Just look at Naomh Connell, Frank. You named their keeper, Stephen McGrath, man of the match. Was it very interesting? You know, McGrath seems to be a wee bit of an unsung hero with Naomh Connell. Obviously, his couple of penalty saves is a surety at the back. Maybe goes a bit unnoticed at times at Naomh Connell, but he has become a very, very important player for them. With that surety, his kickouts, his height, his ability to catch high balls and really command his area.
He's a character as well, and he's a character in the bonker sense of the goalkeeper. You know, it was a wet
they're either weird or bonkers.
It was a wet, horrible day, and Steve McGrath took it upon himself to completely dress in white. He had the white Under Armour underneath a white, completely white goalkeeping kit. Within 5 minutes, it was completely ruined. It's probably going to take a couple of washes to get it clean. But and the serious point of that there. He made two fantastic saves in the first half. And I'm not saying that, you know, if Glenfinnan had to get one of those goals, they might have went on and beat Naomh Connell. It was a huge ask of Martin McGinty's side to go up there yesterday and somebody on Saturday. But they were brave because they shipped an almighty hammer at the same venue to the same opposition last year. So Martin McGinty would have been forgiven for parking the bus. But what they did in that first half was really drive at Naomh Connell. And maybe Naomh Connell just, with that confidence they have, and it's not arrogance, they would have been forgiven maybe for underestimating Glenfinnan. John Harkin the whole way from fullback. The likes of Jason Moore around the middle. Glenfinnan have scoring threats all over the field. And if you're a team coming out of Division 2, you know, the also-rans in Division 1 don't have that there. You know, Jared Walsh, they have a proven inside forward score as well. So they tick a lot of boxes. I think Martin Regan probably would have read the riot act at halftime. And that kick then that you've seen in that third quarter where they kicked 5 points on the trot probably was a result of that they're talking to. But not to, you know, diminish where Glenfinnan are coming and where they have the potential to go. Very interesting to see how they get on next week. But in terms of Steve McGrath, the question that you talked about, yeah, very good goalkeeper and a big presence for Naomh Connell, as we've seen in the county final a few weeks ago and again at the weekend.
Yes, yes. Listen, a victory for St. Noel's over Termin, 111-11, but it was 1-8 to 4 points at half time, which was set the side up for the victory. Obviously, Termin come back violently in the second half, but too much of a hill to climb.
Aye, and I suppose the scary thing for Termin is looking down the tracks is I think they go to St. Unions, you know, or sorry, they welcome St. Unions to the Bourne Road next Saturday, but to go into that their game with a loss on their belt, it looks ominous for them. And St. Noel's, you know, fair play to St. Noel's, dug out that their result, and I think they go to Glenfinnan next weekend as well, which is probably sides that maybe know, three sides there, but the sides at Unions that probably know each other very well from, I suppose, Division 2. But in terms of Unions, maybe, you know, obviously I think they will down Termin at the Bourne Road next weekend. But the St. Noel's Glenfinnan one will be very, very interesting to call.
Yes, yes. And Frank, just before we get off the Senior Championship, just something about the what I've seen of McCool's the last few years. And you'd have to say that the team plays to a certain style, and that style requires Oisin Gallen to be this brilliant spark. You know, he's had some phenomenal scores. And just thinking back last year, we keep looking back to signs where, say, they run Goudour close, Gallen brilliant, kicking some wonder scores. Yesterday, I mean, Liam Paul Ferry now marked him very well, but he only kicks a point from a free. And from a McCool's perspective, you know that's where their handicap was yesterday. You have a flying Oisin Gallen, that's a different game. You know, and even from then, I was thinking from a Donegal perspective, you know, from that injury we have, we probably haven't seen him come back to hitting his true potential yet. And when someone like him, it's a bit like McFadden at the other end of the pitch. You know, McCools are looking for him to hit what McFadden hits. Without that, you can see they're back to 2-6 in terms of the turnover, which isn't going to win you a lot of games.
No, without a doubt. And in terms of just maybe the bigger picture of the Oisín Gallen and Donegal, maybe a bit like Jamie Brennan, you know, last year for Donegal too, carrying an injury, just can't get up to that level of fitness. And there probably hasn't been an off-season, something for the county season ends, it spills over into the club championship. And no doubt, as soon as sides are eliminated here in the club championship this year, Declan Warner will probably come looking for them, you know, in the middle of next month. So it's probably a byproduct of the pandemic where there probably hasn't been many breaks in between them. But with an injury or something that you're trying to get back, sometimes a rest is as important as any rehab or things like that there. So good to know that Jamie Brennan has got that ankle procedure done. And listen, Oisín Gallen, I think, probably just needs the opposite of that, probably needs games now to get up to scratch. But as you're saying, if you're relying on a marquee, you look at the marquee forwards in the county, Brenton, that maybe are starting for Donegal, bar Kilkear, none of the so-called top four of what we would call, in inverted commas, a marquee forward. You know, the other best forwards in the county, Jamie Brennan, plays for a Bundoran side that are probably on the slide. Oisín Gallen, McCool's side, they're probably flatter to deceive, can't seem to punch through that glass ceiling. So that's an interesting one insofar as you look at Guido, maybe, and Niamh Connell, maybe without Owen McGettigan, who brings that wee bit of, you know, flair, unpredictability to it. How much of a problem McCools have in the long term relying on Oisín Gallen? I'm not too sure. They've had players in the under 20s and under 17s. You know, there's some good club players there as well. The bigger picture is, and we keep going back to it, and it's a term that everybody uses now, is the big four. What can somebody offer different? Maybe to make that a big five or possibly a big six. That's the challenge for a handful of sides that are out there. I think McCools have to fall into that bracket, simply because of the size of the club. You know, they've had a pedigree in the past as well, and they've always produced county. There's always been one or two county players floating about over the years, no matter how far they've drifted off that there radar. You know, Marty Riley carried that flag for long enough, and you go back to, you know, the 80s, you know, the Griffins, Dunleavy's and the likes of that there. It's a huge club. Like, so I think, you know, the underage work that's been done there, you just have to see the numbers. People talk about O'Donnell Park, driving past there and seeing numbers. You drive past there in Palbafair, Sonority, look over the bridge into that training field. There's activity there every night of the week. So I've no doubt long term they'll be there. But at the minute, as you say, 2-6 at home, 8 scores in total, and 2 of those green flags, 6 points, something not enough at this level.
Yeah, totally agree. Frank, just looking across the intermediate scene there, Clonmacnoise bouncing back away to Fannad at the weekend was a big performance for him. They beat them 116-112.
Yeah, I think Mallon and Nave Columba probably are the two sides of the minute, just with 2-1 from two there in both those sections. Obviously, with Arua gone, you're looking at who there has the capabilities of landing an intermediate. Clonmacnoise are the standout side that they've gone to the well so many times over the last few years. It's amazing to think that they're still there trying to punch through to that senior grade. Nave Columba is the interesting one for me, 312 to Nod 11. Again, you know, we talk about sides with tradition and pedigree and history, and listen, they fall into that there bracket as well. Again, Aaron Doherty, I think he clipped 2-8 of that there entire 312. You know, that again, that age-old question, should Aaron Doherty be in the senior panel up with Donegal? I think he should, but I think the other question is he needs to want to be there himself as well. So it's not a simple question. But in terms of quality, he definitely is the player that seems to continually catch the eye with big scores for Nave Columba. And if they were to win an intermediate championship, it'd be great to see Aaron Doherty in a Glen shirt against the Kilkears, Guido, St Unions and the Nave Connells next year, because if he's doing it against them as well, suddenly, you know, that conversation that we're having at the minute becomes an even bigger one.
Is the Nave Columba story a bit like Ariel? They were so unlucky, obviously, not to make a final last year. They are a common side as well, with obviously that huge history behind them too. And you know, you think of them teams, if they can get up and stabilise again, they could ask a lot of questions. You know, we've kind of, it's been so long since sides of Gad have been at the top, we kind of have almost forgotten about them in terms of their input. And as you mentioned there, those teams come back to the top, they will produce county players.
Oh, without a doubt. That never changes in terms of quality. It's It's a different kind of a question that you ask why sides are struggling. I mean, you look at Kilkear, who are such, you know, such pedigree at senior level, such quality, given Donegal so many players. You talk to Kilkear club members and they'll tell you about the struggles they're having at underage trying to field sides at certain levels, and that, you know, the future, you know, is worrying in County insofar as the numbers of people there. You look at Nave Columba. I mean, there's lads maybe in their mid to late 20s in Nave Columba that have moved away, that are gone this last 5 or 6, 7 years. It's about maybe a side coming along and looking at what they have now. The incentive maybe is to hang around home, look for employment around home, and maybe not spread your wings like so many people are doing. You know, you talk to your own club in our grad training during the weeks. It's very hard to get a senior training session together, something because so many people are working and living in Dublin and even further afield. Lads are probably coming home from the likes of Liverpool for games at the weekend from college and from work. So the question of getting sides back to the top table and up to scratch, and for the reasons why they're not there, you know, it's a conversation that you could probably have for 3 or 4 hours with people that are living there, that are involved. You know, back in the 80s, when Southwest Donegal, I mean, you used to travel over to those games, you loved them, likes of Fintra. Spoke to Barry Ward yesterday about some of the big games they really used to have in Tyrconnell Park against the likes of the Ardras, Kilkears, etc. People are sourcing employment now, people are sourcing education, and they're moving away from these towns and villages, and it just makes it that wee bit harder, Brenton, I think, to make an impact or an imprint on the football pitch.
Yeah. And looking at Bird seemed to be struggling there. St Mary's Convoy, of course, up from Junior Champions last year, beating them at home 14-5. The Dunloe game was postponed, just refixed for Convoy on Friday night. Neve Breed, of course, had a tough defeat to Dunloe the previous week. They bounced back with a win over Neve Alton. So if you're looking at the Intermediate Championship there, obviously Clonmacnoise straight away is going to be one of the favourites. You know, Neve Columba, you know, have hit the ground running hard. You obviously have done low in there, and maybe, you know, your dark horse is probably Amalin.
Aye, Amalin or Red Hughes there as well. I think there's 3 or 4 sides there that are probably going to struggle that I think you can rule out right away. Of course, it'll be remiss not to mention the passing of Joe Carroll, and that's where that Red Hughes and Dunloe game was called off. But yeah, Dunloe, a wee bit of stealth maybe around them, what they're going to offer in Intermediate. But funny, talking to some Dunloe people, there's a real bounce down there, and it's funny. The bounce is probably there because they're targeting a championship that they have a chance of winning games in and possibly winning. They're targeting games in Division 2 that they had a chance of winning. It's been disheartening for Dunloe holding on by the skin of their teeth this last few years in Championship and in Division 1, looking to win one game to avoid a relegation playoff, looking to scrape points together that maybe you miss out on the drop. So there's a bounce around the Rosses Park there now, simply because it's an Intermediate Championship, and as we said, Division 2, just you're looking forward to games at the weekend, and that probably coaxes people back out to training too, Breton, on a Tuesday and Thursday. That probably just felt like banging their head against a brick wall, you know, being dished out defeat after defeat every year. And I know Dunloe were hit hard by a group of lads that headed to Australia too. Quality young lads in their early 20s. So maybe that sort of incentive to come back as well might be something that they'd look at. But definitely Dunloe will be a contender like for this Intermediate Championship. But as you said, the Clonmacnoise one, they need to get over the line at some stage in this year. But even, you know, they edged Fanagiel's out by 4 points, plenty of quality in Fanad as well. And as you said, Malin, along with Glenn, still undefeated from their 2 games. So it's a very, very interesting championship, and dare you say, just as interesting as the senior one, if maybe not a wee bit more in terms of the number of sides that could possibly win it, 5 or 6 as opposed to, how can I keep calling them the big four, but you know, the obvious standout part for the Dr. Maguire.
Frank, it's an interesting point you put up there. You know, just as you say it there, if a team, like at any level of championship, if it's group-based championship and they're continually, as you said there, you know, one in an odd match, is it good for them to be in that level? You know, you talk about league, you know, the league should be fairly level. There should be plenty of teams you can mix it with there. But when it comes to championship there, if teams are getting a hammer here and there and thinking they can never progress, would it be better that the championship isn't in a group format, that it is, you know, the way it used to be years ago, was a home and away and it was knockout?
Rather that there, Brenton, for the simple fact is, just take this year's championship right away. You know, St Eunan's will be gone. Of that Kilkear St Eunan's game was a first round championship. All of a sudden, somebody from the Big Four is not going to be in the semi-final shake-up. It just leaves the avenue or a slipstream for another side. Like we've seen over the years, a Terman, a Killy Beggs, or somebody, you know, to come up on the outside and at least gate crash the semi-finals, if not the final. The other argument then is that you end up with a lopsided final. And do we want to see that where a side is getting beat by 7, 8, 9, 10 points? So it's a delicate one. I do understand why a group, you can look at a group stage and before a ball's even kicked, it can be very disheartening for a side if they're lumped in with two or three of the big hitters. And, you know, I've seen it in my own club in the past where you're staring down the barrel and whether you want to admit it on the record or off the record, you know that you're going to finish bottom of that group. So it's funny, it would be interesting to put it out there in a poll or maybe garner some feedback from clubs what they would prefer. But in the case of, you know, if it was a straight knockout, I think you have more chance of catching somebody on the hop on a day like that than when you give them maybe two, three, or as we see in this year, four bites of the cherry, maybe they pick up points. It might squeeze you through to a quarterfinal when that sort of group or league format's over.
Yeah, I think, Frank, because of the tactics there that we see in Donegal, that kind of, you know, keep ball, protect the fence, that buys into playing a championship-type format where you're protecting and that game doesn't matter as much. I think if we went at it, you know, if you look what happened in the Tyrone Championship there last year, you know, you're on a game, you're playing, let's say it was old style, St Unions would still have a crack at Kilcare, you know, she wouldn't necessarily have been caught cold on a first day, if you like. You know, I remember having this in 2012, you know, Kilcare actually came up and beat us. We beat them down there then and went to a third game. But you look at that format and I think there's probably something that adds to the spice of the occasion and make the league an important way of getting ready for the championship and then really have a go. Then you couldn't have your small breaks in championship then because there wouldn't be as many games. And I think it builds into more anticipation. Funny thing is this championship started with a hangover of the last one. You're kind of thinking, were we really looking forward to really upgrade? The reason we aren't is because there's so much of a comfort zone in there for teams. And I think that has kind of led into a small bit of a stalemate in terms of, I think we should give it a shot at the old championship, but maybe that's just me and you talking, Frank. We'll save that for another day.
I think you're right in the sense that, listen, open around, home and away, but when I suppose when it comes to knockout, what tempts people to go to, and again, it's a bit like, you know, Barry Ward would have mentioned some of the big games. I remember probably 1996, Ardra and Eirua in Donegal Town, and they were parked out as far as the home petrol station. It was a one-off game, knockout, and you had people from Glen, Killy Beggs, through the gap, and you couldn't get moving in Donegal Town. The old Fintra was the same as well. And I think when all the marbles are up for grabs and there is that sense that if you lose here, you're out. You can feel the trepidation and nerves outside the fence watching on. There just isn't that. As you say, it's a comfort zone. I was in Donegal Town yesterday, sitting back, sunglasses on. Didn't feel like a championship game. And the same was probably in Glenties on Saturday, you know, a much dirtier night. Both sides probably know, obviously, Niamh Connell, as good as they are, knowing that they probably weren't going to lose. But and so far as the style, as you say, sides maybe playing safety first and maybe not looking to get a dish out of hammer. Maybe Glenn Finn's approach of being direct and running at Niamh Connell is a hint of maybe what, you know, is to come, because that's what made their inroads against Niamh Connell, was being direct, moving the ball, you know, getting it on, looking, hunting down goals and come up through Division 2 if they do manage to do it. And that them are Terman and even Eirua, who are definitely coming up. No, they'll bring a bit of exuberance and a bit of freshness to the thing as well. And I think the wheel is turning and it is moving away, you know, at inter-county level from that style of play. But it's taken a wee bit longer, maybe at club level here in the Northwest. But I think we're getting there, but we'd all like us to get there a wee bit quicker.
Yes, that's true. Frank, just wanted to go there. Junior Championship there, we had back-to-back ones for Narasa. Mavill beat St Unans. Huge one for Downings over Robert Emmett. Anything catch your eye on those?
Yeah, just always keep an eye out. The likes of Narasa and that there, obviously, because not too distant past, they were old rivals, as well as local rivals of size in that southwest. Brilliant new facilities there. Their helicopter drop, they're raising awareness for that there. But, you know, I'd like to see some silverware land there, simply for the fact that, I mean, we talk about sides struggling and sides being hit by immigration and departures. I don't think anybody's been hit are as polite as much as Narossa. Declan Boner's column months back in the Donegal News, I think he said there's something like 18, 19 possibly senior panellists training and playing in Australia as we were in lockdown here at the time. And, you know, if they were home, they'd make a wild difference. So they're always foaming against the tide, and it's probably a tide in a current much stronger than a lot of other sides have to contend with. So no, soft spot for Narossa, and we'd be delighted to see them again roads.
Great stuff as ever. Frank, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a million, Brent. Hey, chat soon.
Yeah, good man, Frank. Always good to shoot the breeze with Frank. As I say, yesterday I was up in McCool Park watching that St. Michael's victory over McCool, and it's McCool's in the championship. And Martin McHugh was on CoCom with Oisin here covering the game. And I was interested to talk to him, particularly with Peter Canavan coming on. They both share something in common, as in they've picked up the All-Ireland themselves and they've watched their sons do it. I was interested to hear Martin's experience around that 2012 victory and watching Mark lift the All-Ireland. And here's what he had to say. I'm here in Balbough Bay with Donegal legend Martin McHugh, who was covering the McCool St Michael's game. Martin, before we get to the question, good victory for St Michael's here this evening.
Yeah, they'd be very happy with the performance, considering conceding the two goals early on. They looked in trouble, particularly with McCool's getting down the centre and getting them two scores, but they tied up that area. And that man, Colin McFadden, Andy McFadden, was the big difference, 1-6. And the way his ability to kick frees and get scores don't matter. And that was the difference in the two teams. He was able to get the scores when they got the ball to him, and the other end, McCool's would be disappointed, because they had a lot of easy enough chances, particularly in the second half. So yeah, and they end up the better team won.
Yeah, just thinking about McFadden there, Martin, and the kind of robotic and physical nature of the games now, even though Colm's legs aren't there, he still is the best player on the pitch. So it just shows you, if you allow that ability sometimes to come to the fore, it always will come to the top. It's not all about athletic ability. If you've got the class there, you know, when he has it in space, and obviously for me he was man of the match here.
Yeah, definitely, no doubt about that, Brendan. He was man of the match, and I think he's one of the best players we've ever seen playing Gaelic football. I'd go that far to say that. And you know, we wouldn't have won in All Ireland and without him, or anything else we won without him, Ulster Titles, because his ability, you know, his ratio of kick and freeze, you know, you used to kick freeze yourself and you're a good free taker, but his ratio of kick and freeze, he doesn't miss them. So it's you know, even from St Michael's point of view, it's great to have him there, because you only won fouls and teams would be very dismal. But even the county point of view, he's an unbelievable player. And I suppose, you know, if we look at that full forward and we look back at it in time later on when you know, the dust settles in later years, come when you know, call him Andy McFadden, you know, you had Michael Murphy and you had a young Patty McBearty, and we see now they were three of the top players in the country, the three of them in that there, and we were lucky enough to have done Donegal. But I have to say, I love coming to watch him. I've always loved watching him, and he gets about his business easy, but he's marked tight and everything else, and he gets on with it. He doesn't get involved now, and you get the ball to him and he'll finish. And some of the kicks tonight were brilliant to see. And I always remember myself when I was playing Brennan, you know, we found out that, you know, your head was telling you what to do, but your legs couldn't get there. So you really, when you get older, you have to be using that head and using it very well, and he's very, very good at it.
Well, you certainly had a good head as well as the legs. Martin, I was just going to ask you there, Peter Canavan's on the show tomorrow evening, and I've just, obviously we'll talk about Dara and the son. There's not that many father and sons as one football All-Irelands around here, but just that time with Mark and yourself, that experience around from 92 to 2012, watching your son playing and winning All-Ireland, what was that like?
Well, one thing, Brendan, I always found that when you're playing yourself, it wasn't too bad when you're out in the field, but watching somebody playing belonging to you is far, far tougher than everything else. And that game, I had a bit of Valium taken before the match, like that All-Ireland final, just to try to settle me down and everything else. But yeah, it was great. Look at it. Someone, again, you look back on it more than the time. And I just happened to be, I was working at the BBC that day, and I happened to be in the sideline. And I think the same thing happened to Peter Canavan, where he ended up on the sideline with Sky Sports this time. And just happened that there were a guard there, and Mark was there, and he went over and he took over. A guard, I think it was from Galway, took Mark over to me. And I mean, that's a moment you'll never forget, that situation on the field when it happens. But I never thought, you know, you never think you'd see these things happening, and just lucky enough there's few father and sons. But you expect them in Dublin, you probably, you know, expect them in Kerry, yes, and everything else. You don't expect them maybe as much in Donegal or Tyrone, sure. But we know now Tyrone have four All-Irelands, and maybe it'll not be the last that Peter Canavan with the son will win for Tyrone, you know. But yeah, it's lovely, it's a great, you know, someone to have. And I mean, post that pictures up,
Martin,
in the house.
I can remember back to 97 when you won the Ulster with Cavan, of course, that memorable victory, and Mark was allowing me just a wee carry. That was just a few months before I started playing with Donegal. You fast forward then, you say that famous embrace. Listen, that's one of my favourite images
noise around Croke Park, the pitches, All Ireland final day. Of course, it meant that we'd won All Ireland, but for the 2 years to have that image and that memory there, you know, it's something very special.
I think it's great. You know, even from Mark's point of view, his own children seeing and everything else, when I'm long gone and everything else, maybe the grandchildren and everything else, and that'll always be there, you know, because, you know, we hope we won plenty of more All Irelands, but in Donegal, we're not going to win that many, you know. We're lucky times we were wondering if we ever won one. So from that, but yeah, it is great to have it. And I mean, the older you get and the longer you go on, Brendan, you wouldn't know any about that yet, you know, the more enjoyable it is and everything else. And look, it was just lucky enough, you know, it's just hateful in 2014. I wasn't able to go down to embrace Ryan as well, the same way. But that's, look at this, it's only football.
Yeah, and there's more McHughes coming. You've played your part so far, so you never know what the future holds.
Ah, you never know with that there. You never know what's going to happen down the road. But sure, look, it's great with Donegal, the way, from the late 80s, you know, when we were doing well at that time. I mean, we've always been there knocking on the door since that there, and always producing good footballers and everything else. And that's the great thing about it. And, you know, next year's another year and we look forward to it and everything else. And suppose Tyrone gives everybody in Ulster a lift. We know the Ulster Championship is going to be very competitive. So look at it's sometimes a wee bit of luck makes all the difference, and that's what can make the difference and everything else. So you never know.
As ever, Martin, good to talk to you. All the best. And now in the DL debate, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by a man needs, well, little introduction. You know, he set the world alight as a player, you know, one and all in the game. Now a top pundit, it is Tyrone's Peter Canavan. Peter, how are you this evening?
Not too bad, thanks, Brendan. All good.
Peter, as the dust is settling there on a memorable season, you know, a season, I was just thinking about it, Peter, and I spoke to you way back at the start. Obviously, Fergal and Brian taking the job, fellas that you knew well and had won an under-21 All-Ireland. And I was thinking about the start of the season, Peter, probably they had three things in mind. One was stay in Division 1, the other one was beat Donegal, and won Ulster. You know, anything after that, I don't think would have been on the radar, Peter. So absolutely remarkable, the season that it was.
Yeah, well, look, I think it was Chatley at the start of the year, and we said exactly that there was going to have to be progress made, absolutely, but we didn't expect such progress in such a short space of time. And look, I was obviously delighted the way things worked out. Maybe a lot of people felt that we were coming in under the radar, and all the talk was about Kerry and Dublin, obviously, and then with Mayo's performance in the semi-final taking Dublin out, a lot of people were expecting Mayo to win, and they were obviously expecting that themselves. So look, we were coming into both the semi-final and the final nice and quiet, under the radar, coming in as underdogs for both games. So look, it was nice to come up with the goods anyway, and obviously we're all delighted up this part of the world, Brent.
Yeah, listen, you have to say hats off, Peter. It was completely deserved as it was ended up. Peter, just rewind you back into the, obviously, you know, that seems so long ago, the Killarney match for a start at the end of that league. But, you know, so much was to be learned by the two lads, and showed a lot of bravery at different times in the championship, but so many players just seemed to evolve and just grow. And the players that I hadn't seen, you know, the last few years. But particularly, I suppose, from our Donegal perspective here, Peter, you know, I think there was maybe between league and championship, I think it might have been five in a row Donegal had won. I don't know, it was four or five. I just can't think back there. But, you know, it was unusual at the time. Donegal, you know, some teams just sometimes have that wee bit over teams. And if you look at the league game, that first league game at Enoma, I think it was really a sign of where Donegal and Tyrone were at the last few seasons. Donegal just looked to have that wee bit of extra composure or control or whatever you want to call it, Peter. And it was so, as you look at Tyrone's evolution as the rest of the season went on, players started to really step up and really become main men that we hadn't seen in the last few seasons. It was a phenomenal turnaround, and I think that players, I suppose you look at Morgan, for example, Peter, you know, he mixed the good with the bad. You're always going to get, I think, relative good performance from the likes of McKiernan, McNamee, Hampsey, Fells, I guess. But for me, Sludden, who didn't play a lot of the league, you know, Peter Hart in particular, you know, you look at, obviously, Myler, McGeary, phenomenal. But as well as that, the likes of McCurry and even Matty Donnelly, those players, Peter, really from the last few seasons that I'd seen them, just really, Fergal and Brian got the best from them, and they just kept getting better at every game.
Well, there's always going to be a bounce coming off any new management coming in, but that bounce only lasts so long, and it depends what they bring to the table thereafter. And the first thing I think Brian and Fergal made sure was that there was a backroom team second to none, and they got who they wanted. And in terms, I've said this before, and not only are they experts in their own particular field, but they're also really good fellas as well, sound people. And they were going to make a contribution to the overall process as well, a big contribution, and the two boys have continually said that. So they were backing up the freshness and the bounce of new management. And then after that, it was about tactics and changing the script somewhat. And they were going to have to do that to be different. And they're going to have to play the way they feel the game should be at the minute. So that very first game that you referenced with Donegal, it was we were left hanging at the back. Murphy and Paddy McBrady had a field day that day. But it gave you an idea of the way that we were looking to play. It was high risk in certain regards. But you have to bear in mind that performance, and I said after it, we hadn't been together, you know, with COVID and thrown. There was trials and all the rest. Fergal and Brent didn't even have their panel selected during that COVID crisis, whereas Donegal, who had a management in place, knew their panel. Armagh knew their panel. Most other teams were working away behind the scenes with the players that they knew were going to represent the county. So Throne didn't, and that was a serious disadvantage. And hence, I think that they were slow to get going in the league. And gradually, as you've seen, they were able to get better week on week.
And just a word in that backroom team there, because sometimes we don't maybe mention them enough. You know, the likes of like Joey McMahon was in there. Collie Holmes would have been doing a lot of coaching. Donnelly in the S&C, very important, all their roles in the squad.
Well, they had all defined roles. Peter's remit, I suppose, Peter Donnelly's, was strength and conditioning, but it went beyond that. You know, he's a man that has played the game, knows football inside out, so he was well able to come in and work on certain aspects of play as well, as were Joe and Collie Holmes, who were very much hands-on in terms of their coaching. And Brian and Fergal were happy for that to happen, and once they seen the quality of it and what the boys were doing. And so beyond that, you had Marty McGuire, who came over to oversee the performance analysis, and the fellas have referenced him, a lot of the players, since their victory, and the medical staff and so on. So look, it was a good camp, it was a good setup, and the players obviously responded.
Yeah, Peter, what's your view on the last few seasons, particularly, I think, when you got into quarterfinals and especially when the Super 8s came in? A lot of people were saying the Ulster was hampering teams that were coming out of it because of the tough nature of it. I'm just thinking, in this season, do you think it suited us in terms of, suited yourselves in particular, in terms of having those games with Cavan, a tight game with Donegal, and then with Monaghan, particularly at headquarters, it really set us up in a good way going into a semi-final, which maybe, I'm not making excuses for other sides, but I'm just saying also probably it's good to get those couple of tight games before you go into a semi.
Well, the winners always write the script, Brian, and for years, and we've heard it and seen it. Kerry come up and they whipped Ulster champions, and we give out about, look at the hard pass, our boys were knackered by the time they get there, and Kerry sauntered through, that only this game to prepare for. Now, when the Ulster champs beat the likes of Kerry, it's only for the tough games, so Donegal and Monaghan Throne wouldn't have been ready, yeah, you know, to play Kerry. What good was Kerry trouncing so-called weaker teams? Yeah. So, in this case, I think because Throne were finding their feet, it certainly was a benefit. Another massive advantage that Throne had over Kerry was that our bench, all the games that we played, you had players coming off the bench into a really competitive match with the game in the balance, and they were going to have to make a difference. It was sink or swim, whereas we were getting an unfair reading maybe of the Kerry bench, and I was guilty of this too, raving about the quality of their bench, but they were coming on to games whereby 10 or 15 minutes to go, Kerry 10 points up, it wasn't hard to shine.
Yes.
And to express yourself and to score great points and to get involved. So, and when the chips were down and when they needed those subs really to perform, they didn't. So that's certainly, that was a massive advantage for the likes of Throne coming through the tough game, because we knew, of course, what our first 15 were made of.
Yeah.
But we were also very confident that we had men on the bench that were able to come on and deliver when most needed.
Yeah, it was a season, I think, Peter, for a lot of people to reevaluate, you know, how we were looking at teams going into different games, because particularly from Tyrone's perspective, they tore up the script a few times. But I just wanted to be, before that semi-final, you know, knowing the lads like you do, you know, Fergal and Brian, such straight shooters, did all the nonsense talk, was it a bit annoying in Tyrone that people were saying that Tyrone were playing some kind of a game to get by themselves time?
Look, it was, we didn't let it, you know, the player didn't let it get under their skin. I know you had to put manners on Wally a couple of times and keep him settled, but
yes.
Look, I can understand that, of course you can. I can understand why those points are made, but the fact of the matter, and I did tell you this before too, that during the whole COVID thing, Throne were the one county that didn't yes. play challenge games, that didn't step out of it, and I've said the county board were very strict in terms of what the players could do. Like, not one of the video sessions was inside, and Gervais all had to be taken outside. So, and for us to get hammered in the way they did, and there's only so much you can do with players. You can't babysit them. You can't tell them they can't go to work. You can't tell them they can't go out at night. So look, it was inevitable maybe that you know, players are going to get it and whatnot. But for them to make that call for Throne, and you know Fergal Logan very well, you know, he's not a chancer. He's not someone that would say, right, we're going to play a wee game here, hoping to get an extra couple of weeks. That was a decision, and there was players that said, here, this is too much. We can't do. We'll play it. We don't want to lose out on this. But the fact of the matter was, Throne would have been going down to Croke Park with a shadow of their first 15. They would have been going down, unable to put it up to Kerry in the manner in which any team would want to. And it was the right call. I think they were straight up with Croke Park right away. You still hear people saying, oh, who were these people and whatnot. The names of everybody that had it were given, and the conditions that they had was all passed over to Croke Park. So they were well aware of the severity of what was going on. And no small part, thanks to Kerry, for their approach to the game, was rightfully put back. But look, it was some of the things that were said, of course, you don't like them said about your own county. That's, and if anything, what it did do, and you know, it served to motivate the Throne boys that when they did go out, they were going to produce a big performance.
Yeah. And Peter, I'm just interested to know what your mindset was going into the final, because you know, you're on about Parkinson, we were on that day, and I think with Mayo, even though we've watched the game so much, we looked at Mayo's second half against Galway and against Dublin. We forgot about their first half. We forgot about all those issues. We forgot about Dublin playing them off the park in the first half when they looked like the real Dublin. And for some reason, we just completely focused in. I can't believe looking back at it now. And on the Thursday, I was actually on me Wally, and we were like, some feeling in the gut for me. Oh, but by the Friday, I was on off the ball and I'd picked Tyrone at that stage because I think I'd thought a wee bit more about it. Now, I'm not saying there was a huge change, but I couldn't make my mind up. But by Friday, I'd gone to Tyrone. What was your feeling getting into that match, Peter? How were you assessing it?
Well, I was the exact same as yourself. Funny, Kieran Donaghy was the exact same. He had predicted a draw during the week, and by the time it got the day before the match and the day of the match and after watching more games and the two semi-finals again, he was confident that Throne would win based on the things you're after saying. So, myself, I expected a stronger Mayo finish, and a lot of people said, you know, Throne won at their ease. If you watch that game again, I wouldn't necessarily say agree with that, because look at the chances that Mayo missed. I think there was four goal chances. There was numerous point chances. And it wasn't the case that Throne were blowing them away. Throne had to play, 30 minutes of football in the second half before they kicked their first point from play. They didn't kick any points in the second half. There was a free kick, there was a mark, and there was two fisted points. and the first point came, I think, in the 64th minute. So you can't say Tyrone were exceptional either or blew them away. But the one thing that I did feel before it was, if it was a really, and I did expect it to be really tight, and I did expect a big finish from Mayo, you always felt that maybe because they had struggled to get over the line in so many previous years, that could be a difficulty for them once again. And if they were ahead, they would present chances to Tyrone going into the closing stages. And that's exactly the way it panned out. They had their chances, but they weren't able to take them.
Yes, and it just seems that Achilles heel. One big point, I suppose, Peter, was, I suppose, Kennedy and Kilpatrick in particular. You know, you think since Colm Kavanagh retired, there has been a lot of question marks about Tyrone's midfield. And we thought with maybe O'Shea dropping out there with Loftus and Ryan, that's somewhere where Mayo would definitely win. That wasn't the case. You know, phenomenal performance for the two guys in the final.
That was without a doubt, massive bearing on the game. And yourself and many others, and you know, as pundits, we can only judge what we've seen, and what we've seen up to that was a very strong Mayo midfield. You had O'Shea coming in and out, you had Matty Ryan playing the football of his life, Damon O'Connor so strong, you know what you're going to get out of him. Conor Loftus was winning ball and running at defences, so that was a real strong, and they wore a really good Dublin midfield into the ground. So you're right in suggesting that they had the advantage going into the final, and we needed, Tyrone needed Brian Kennedy and Conn Kilpatrick to produce big performances. And from our point of view, that was a massive bearing on the game that those two fellas delivered. In fairness to Brian Kennedy, he has been carrying a bit of a niggle all year, and that was the first game whereby he was going in feeling really good about himself. And again, it's a measure of the confidence that Brian and Fergal have in him, that they played him a number of those games when he wasn't at himself, whereas Conn Kilpatrick was always a player with great potential, and it was a case of him covering the hard ground and making the tackles and getting his work rate up to speed, and slowly but surely he's managed to do that as well. You'll remember his father Adrian playing, sure. And I played with Minor on under 21, and he was an exceptional footballer. So Conn certainly hasn't picked it up on the ground.
No, and listen, talk about picking up on the ground, Peter, before I let you go there. I actually interviewed Martin McHugh yesterday. He was up at a club game in Donegal, because I wanted to ask him about, obviously, the father and son. There's not that many All-Irelands around here, Peter, but have the father and son's very, very special. He was saying he probably needed a bit of Valium for the 2012 final to settle him down. He found it very hard to watch. So for yourself and Dara involved, Peter, brilliant memories, and of course you ended up down on the side for Sky to see Dara. It must have been a very tense a week for you watching your son lifting all Ireland after you'd done it?
It was extremely, the week before it was stressful, believe it or not, and normally I wouldn't let things get to me, but yeah, you're worried about that and your COVID issues. You're again watching movements and people coming in out of the house. You're restricting everyone and keeping an eye on him. There's a ticket issue. You know, so many people, because of the shortage of tickets and the demand on tickets was something else. So there was a lot of factors coming into the game. You had a brave idea he was going to figure. And knowing that he had done rightly against Kerry, you were thinking, well, they're going to nullify him right away as soon as he gets on. And they did have a man set out for him. But look, thankfully for us, we got through it. And again, with experience, you find there's very little you can do sitting on the seat in the stand or on the sideline. Once the game starts, things tick over and boys get on with and do what they know best. But as I say, it couldn't have worked out any better.
Yeah, magic, Peter, great stuff, and a lot more to come from this Tyrone team, and I think from the young Dara Canavan as well. Peter, listen, thanks so much for joining us this evening on Deal Debate, and enjoy the celebrations. I would say there's a few more weeks left in it yet.
Well, don't know about that, but I'm sure Donegal will be jumping at the bit to get a throne the next time they see them in my brand, no doubt.
Yeah,
They'll not disappoint us.
Listen, that's a big ask next season. I think you've elevated the whole of Ulster. I think with that victory, Peter, can only be good for Ulster football. We're all playing catch up to the Tyrone lads now. That was Peter Kennevin there. Great to get Peter's views on Tyrone's memorable 2021 All-Ireland victory. Yes, that's a wrap again here on the DL Debate. Thanks for listening in. I want to thank my guests, Frank Craig, Peter Canavan, the interviews, of course, of Martin McHugh and Daniel McLaughlin. Of course, Kenneth's here for looking after me and producing, head of sport, Oisin Kelly. And I'll speak to you all next week.
The DL Debate in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love with outdoor dining. Book now and enjoy the Sarah's experience.